Before last week, I wrote 5 introductions, and so I didn't figure I had any real problems for tonight until I had 4 hours of conversation or so yesterday and realized that a few people, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. So then last night and this morning, I had to throw together a whole new presentation. It isn't going to do us any good, and this is what I've been doing for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's going to do us any good to discuss 14A. You guys don't even have any idea, if you don't have any idea what we're talking about, if we talk about eternal self or why or what's important about that or what's its significance or anything of that nature. And so then each week I write a little introduction. It's just kind of try to tell why it's important. And we don't seem to get past the introductions. We sure as hell won't get past this introduction. Simply because...
Morning.
What? No.
Morning.
Morning. Simply because when I talk about an eternal self, we can say you are alive today as a personal being and you want to continue in life. There's probably no doubt about that. You may not want to continue in your present life and in the way of your present life, but I haven't really met anybody who says they don't want to continue in life. Actually, continuing isn't even enough for you guys. You want to know and fully experience your continuing. And you want to experience that as lively as you experience yourself today. Existing as dark matter or as an unknown, unknowable spiritual being is not enough for you. I may be wrong. So anybody, I'll pause right here. Pausing. Anybody wants to jump in and say, hey, that's not for me.
I want to say yeah, so what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with what?
Wanting to experience my continuing.
What made you think I was saying there was anything wrong with that? I'm merely stating that you do want to continue. Now, what the hell are you going to do about it?
About wanting to continue or about making sure I continue?
That's right. Especially since, like it or not, you will die. In fact, your life today is more about death than it is about life. Actually, the awareness of death is a basis of every pain, conflict, and affliction in your body and life. Oh, it's easy to talk about death and not continuing and even talk about, even declaring, well, hell, I don't care about death while you're alive. But the older you are and the closer you get to death or are made aware of this through, well, illnesses and age or all of these other problems in your life, your impending death will control yourself and life completely. Unless, of course, you know of and experiencing, if you experience continuing. You can say, oh, no, I know, I have faith, I hope, etc. Yeah, well, while you're alive, you can say that. But is faith and hope of continuing, is that real enough for you? Or do you actually want to experience your continuing? And if you want to experience your continuing, how will you do that? You can deny your death or turn your back on death and not continuing while you're alive. But as you get older, you're confronted with body problems and death. This has been a problem throughout the life of sentient beings who are aware of death. Religion jumped into the midst of this dilemma of life to offer you the hope of continuing after death. But I gotta ask you, what is this offering worth? Anything? I'll pause again. Anybody want to jump right in there and tell me what is the hope of continuing as offered by religion? What is it worth to you? Anything? Pause. Well, as I said here a couple of weeks ago, even Paul said that without the crucifixion and resurrection, Christianity had little or nothing to offer anybody. But we want now to speak about ancient religions that existed long before this upstart Christianity, or long before the newly born Islam. Of course, we can say all religions are, even ancient religions declare that to have this hope of an eternal life, you have to be faithful, you have to worship and obey. Worship and obey their God, and constantly cleanse yourself of your sins for having done wrong instead of right. All these religions claim this wasn't asking too much of you, is it? But I answered, but that was asking too much for me. Actually, I felt abused and mistreated by religion in this one area alone. Anybody want to jump right in there and tell how you feel about that? In ancient times, I mean really ancient times, let's go back, say, 10,000 years or so, life and afterlife was lived as one, or as a continuation without beginning or ending. But life after life was pulled apart or separated by written language and reassembled according to the underlying structure of language. Life after life were two separate goings on, and they became life and afterlife. Or it became you and the gods. The gods were the afterlife and you were in your life today. Or you and spiritual self. And when they did this, the wholeness of life was divided into physical and spiritual. And in that, whole hell of a lot of life, including the truth of life, was lost. But the problem with that is that what was lost was felt by future generations. But those generations couldn't express directly by the very language that destroyed the truth of life. They couldn't express that at all. You have the same problem here. I've asked several times now, well, anybody want to say anything? You have a feeling, a sense of things somewhat contrary to what I am saying, and yet you would say, well, I don't know how to express that. Then would you fault yourself for not expressing that, or would you look at maybe then language is inadequate for you to express the truth of the wholeness of life? Well, let's see then if we can overcome the faults of languaging to describe what occurred and maybe see and possibly even express a remedy for that. Because of written language, life continued as a language self life, following the pattern of separate or individual words of language and of languaging, such that life and afterlife, personal and eternal, physical and spiritual, opposed each other in language. And in using language all the time, they opposed one another in life. Well, Moses at the burning bush, much like Moses at the burning bush, a few brave souls communed life after life and discovered a great deal that had been missing for generations and generations and generations. It had been missing all because of languaging. And that all suddenly, when they communed in life after life, appeared again. The whole of life after life is expansively more than the sum of the parts, and far greater than that as well. Well, Sir Isaac Newton was absolutely correct in declaring in his third law of motion that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. However, the communion of action-reaction is more than just the sum of the parts. Of course, everybody understands what I'm saying, right? I don't even know if you're out there. I haven't even heard anybody breathe.
We're here.
Well, thanks for letting us know. Language is greater and more expansive than cause and effect. Even the universal language of mathematics is completely faulty. In living a godly or religious or spiritual self in life, ancient people deprived themselves of much of what life offered and is all about. Everybody understands that? In living a godly or religious or spiritual self and life, ancient people deprive themselves of much of what life offers and what life is all about. Now, I keep breaking in here and say, does anybody want to say anything? Because there's nothing here that I haven't said a bunch of times, but in 4 hours of conversation on Sunday, I realized that people have no conceivable idea of what I am talking about. Well, I guess that's all right. Okay. Life offers much, much more than language allows. Actually, it is important to live a personal life and afterlife awarefully together. For only then will the greatness and expansiveness and extensiveness of life appear again. Well, I didn't like what religion was offering. And in my process of seeing how the universe works, I asked the universe. And I guess you might say it's kind of like Moses at the burning bush. The universe spoke clearly saying, you can have eternal life. All you guys bitching about this. All you have to do is decide the eternal self and life you're willing to be. And live eternally. And show us. Us, that means the universe. After all, we, the universe, I got a noise on the squeaky. Are we still there?
Yeah.
After all, we have 7.5 billion other requests from this area alone. And we wouldn't want to make a mistake and give you the wrong eternal self and life. That's why the universe said after Adam and Eve left the garden, we protected the way to everlasting life with cherubs and a flaming sword. We wanted them to show us what eternal self and life they desire. That's all. Then everyone made a big fuss about that. So we will repeat. You can continue and have everlasting life. All you have to do is decide the eternal self and life you are willing to be and live, and show the universe that by living it. So how's that? That's not asking too much, is it? Well, this realization didn't just emerge or unfold from within the life and afterlife. That was communion by these individuals. What came forth was far more than that. What came forth was emergent. And that was far more than just your life today and afterlife. Unfortunately, those people or individuals who spoke of these things in the past, they were called prophets. And they were considered to have been called by God to deliver the messages to the people. In addition, these messengers or messages then were distorted by language and the beliefs of those times. Well, because of that, life after life and physical, religious, or spiritual were pulled even further apart. And most of what had been emergent was lost again. Nobody wants to jump in here?
Yeah, I've got a question. Process of emergence, is there any way to shut that off?
The answer to that, in fact, is no. You can cover up what's really going on by cause and effect. You can believe what you want about religion. Stop and think about it. Do you really think that in the universe Your continuing or not continuing must be an act in fact of the universe. And that you can't vary that because some religion comes along and says, oh, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be faithful, you got to be trusting. And then that is going to vary the universe to either give you eternal life or not. Of course not. You can take everything said by religion and say, this is complete hogwash. I'm going to go to the source. And the source is, if I continue in life in the universe, then I'm going to ask the universe about that. The universe says, yes, you do. Or you can. You could opt out if you wanted to. Then all the universe asks you to do is to show me how you want to continue. Show yourself. How do you want to continue? Is it possible that your life today is only that? Not struggling to learn or earn or gain life after life? Or an afterlife? Or to continue? Or get permission? But what if your life today is all about showing the universe and yourself how you would be willing to be and live eternally?
Is it possible that in a narrowed cause and effect, I want to somehow get this way of life? That's the message I am giving to the universe, and the universe says, there you have it. You can keep on doing that as much as you want.
No, the universe, like Mother Nature, is not to be fooled with. The universe itself knows that, and when I say knows, and I personified the universe, and etc., I am really, I don't mean to say the universe is talking at you and thinking back and etc. It is you are being aware of the universe and the way it operates in that regard. So you know, or you are aware, that the universe, if you want eternal life, then all you have to do is live as an eternal being. Is it possible that that is simple enough or too simple for you?
No, what I'm curious about is that if I insist on having doubt about my own eternity, isn't that what happens?
Yeah, you continue living that doubt about your eternity. You're actually showing the universe, hey, this is what I want to live. I want to live this doubt about my eternity. And so there it is. There you keep doing that. The question is then, could you make another choice in another life? If every moment supplants every prior moment, could you live as and show the universe the eternal self that you are willing to be and live today? And be and live that, and tomorrow in another life, or in another life, choose how you will be alive eternally at different than you are today. Well, the answer is yeah, of course you can. But along with that is then that you think that by continuing the same, in the same way, then you are in fact continuing. And that, well, is true. Unfortunately, you're not continuing in the way and the manner you truly desire. You're showing the universe the struggle and declaring then that this is the struggle you choose to continue, then that is a struggle you will continue. Okay?
I understand that. Thank you.
Well, wait a minute now. The question here at this point is, so what the hell do you want to do about that?
My existing image with an image of my and action of my own eternity.
I didn't hear you.
I want to supplant my existing image of my life and self with one that would include an image of my eternalness and living that.
Okay, that won't work. Next. Got another
I was afraid of that. It's tricky, isn't it? That this I can ball axe myself right back into the same trap by opening my mouth.
No, like I said before, it's not tricky, it's not difficult, it's your frigging language. And you won't change your language. You won't change the way you use your language. And then use your language to describe what it is you are talking about. You don't do that. You continue the same pattern of languaging and wonder why it doesn't work or doesn't work the way you want it or think you want it to work. The point of it is, you can't fool Mother Nature. And you think, that's the language's problem. No, but you, the same way is, you are distorting yourself and your awareness into say, well, I want to become, I want to be able, I want to change. Okay, then you will live eternally in the want of becoming, in the want of changing, or in the want of trying to get things together. That's what you portray in your life to the universe, then that's the way you live eternally. The universe does not care to say, okay, all right, I got you, Pat. We'll make you a good guy in the next lifetime. The universe isn't doing that way for you. Even no matter how much I personify the universe, that doesn't happen.
I can see that. The whole, I think I put a two in front of it, just about everything I say. To become, to do this, to do that. It's always somewhere out there somewhere.
What does out there mean? That doesn't mean anything. You use that slang word, and I call it a slang word. We'll call it a sling word. You sling it out there. What the hell do you mean when you say, it's out there somewhere? And then you're going to tell me, no, it's in here somewhere. And I'm going to say, what the hell do you mean?
Well, I guess it means that by the use of the structure of the language I've been using, I make it something that I am not, and I want somehow or other to become.
And that's exactly what religion grabbed onto and offered you. Oh, well, yeah, that's what you want. Then come believe with us and worship with us and have faith and trust and obedience and all of this. And then our God will give you what it is you want. Why would anybody believe such trash? Why don't you...
Fancy robes.
I didn't hear you. What?
They dress you in nice, fancy robes. That makes it all right.
And you get 40 virgins and streets are paved in gold. and rivers of honey. Okay, we got all that shit. Now let's get off of that and get back to, why don't you go to the source and ask the universe? And the universe has said, okay, all right, show us what you want, and then that's what we'll give you. Now how, and don't trap yourself in language, let's put it this way, now what are you going to do?
It would appear that, as you said earlier, that the only way I can really show the universe is to live the life I desire.
Then what are you going to do?
I will make a selection.
Screwed. Next. You see, you didn't go into the next sentence, then you just violated the prior sentence that you made. Said. You said, well, I guess if that's the way it is, I gotta have to live the eternal self that I desire. What are you gonna do? I'm gonna choose. Choosing ain't living.
Yes. Whereabouts do we fit in the test?
Where do you fit in the what?
Where do I fit into that big test of whether or not it is something I would be willing to live eternally and have done unto me?
Well, if you're talking about emergent now, what I said was, you decide what you are willing to do or say. That's living. This is what I'm going to do, or this is what I am saying. Then after the decision, you can test after the decision has made. You don't choose to do something that you would do eternally, because that sets it up into a goal or a focus on a consequence that creates a judgment and all the conditions of judgment that keeps you in cause and effect, and you can't get out of that. Does that make any kind of sense?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Simone.
I mean that I understand that deciding is prior and choosing is according to a desired outcome.
May I make a point that there is no difference between deciding and choosing? I know that may be different in your language, but, and there's a lot of people here that think that's different here too, but there's no difference between deciding and choosing. Those are synonymous, or so synonymous that you might as well be doing the same thing.
How was it different?
And why do you use those two words to express something?
What are you talking about?
There must be. You said, Pat said before that he chooses. And you explained that deciding is, I understood that you meant that deciding is something different.
Well, because of the nature of language, you're right. I inserted the word deciding. Then, in that, there is an instantaneous deciding. But even that instantaneous deciding is a judgment. I agree with you, 100%. I was just trying to get it out of the fact that you don't make the judgment first and then do it, that you must do it and then decide whether that is truly the way you would naturally be willing to be and live and say or do or think or be.
Okay. So you use choosing more in you touch before, and deciding more in.
No. I want you to live so. Let's start off again. What I talked about is living yourself self-evidently so, such that you get to the point that you are no longer making decisions. That no matter what occurs, you are self-evidently doing, saying, etc. You aren't choosing, you aren't selecting, you aren't deciding, etc. It's as much of a self-evident thing in your life. To do that and then avoid the cause and effect which screws you up. Since what you want is a continuing life, then you must choose or live self-evidently as a communion, personal, eternal being. Now, I'll talk about that, and as well from Pat.
Well, I'll tell you, I put myself into this before that position when you raised that. It seems that there is no way I will be able to live that communion unless I have an image of my eternal self.
Okay.
Let's
assume that for the moment. Then, like last week's story, I said, well, I got to back up here a minute. We said, you're living self-evidently so, you fall off the horse, you've got to make a judgmental decision, a cause and effect decision, to get back up on the horse of living self-evidently as an eternal being. So we're at that, you just fell off your horse, your face is in the ground, and you're going to have to allow me then, or allow yourself then, one non-self-evidenting judgment, cause and effect choice to get back up on the horse. Are we okay there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, last week I said, in that story, which I said had to fit in between these other stories, now we're going to fit some more stories in here. As you said, you couldn't live that without an image of that. Last week I said, choose a standard of self and life and an enterprise. Would not the standard of yourself in life then be a picture of your eternal self, and the enterprise be a picture of your eternal self acting within or upon something or some way in life?
When you speak of a personal standard, could you talk about that a little bit more? I'm not entirely sure what is meant by that.
Well, I guess we could then come back here and say, would not the greatest standard be, an only important standard be for you to be what you'd be willing to believe, think, attitude, emotion, speak, and do eternally? I gotta ask you one question now, Pat. Is there anything in life that you want other than more or eternal life? Let's start there. That's where we're coming from. If there is, tell me what that is.
No, there isn't anything else, and that fits very, very nicely as a standard.
Okay, that's right. And you want not only eternal life, is what I said. You don't want just eternal existence. You want to know and experience yourself as you do today, eternally. Maybe you want to experience yourself other than Pat, but in the ilk of, hey, that's me. Hey, I'm doing that. Hey, this is what I do. This is what I love. That you want to experience eternally. You don't want to be consciousness. You don't want to be nothing. You want to be something. Can you
and
not?
Awarefully.
What?
And awarefully something.
Right. You don't want to be like an electron that is something, well, not really. Or we could say an electron is not really anything, but I guess it's something. That's not good enough for you. You want to be something. You've worked hard at being something, even if you don't like it. You'd rather be something that you even hate than to be nothing.
Correct.
Then, if you've fallen off the horse and you're grumbling in the dirt, in case you've never fallen off a horse, I have many, many times.
I have, and it hurts sometimes.
Yeah, it sure does. And you're grumbling in the dirt. Could you not then at that time, right there, then choose while you're down there, would you mind choosing the self and life you would truly be willing to be and live eternally? Make a choice. You're not on a horse. You're down there grumbling. There you are. Would you finally make that choice and then get back up on the horse? And while you're down there, we know that you could create an image of yourself in life. Well, would you mind creating an image of what that self in life is doing? And then get back up on the horse. Is that okay?
That's okay. So that the entropy you spoke of a moment ago?
So what?
You spoke a moment ago about two things, one of them being the standard and the other being an enterprise.
So the standard is, in that regard, then, the self you would be in the life you'd be living eternally. That's the standard. And the enterprise would then be, what would you be doing? We're not talking about just sitting around floating on a cloud, playing a harp. If that's what you want, go do it. It doesn't do you any good to say, well, then I'll be relieved of my pains and problems and difficulties in life. Well, what the hell will you be doing then? I'll have eternal peace. Eternal peace doing what? Don't you really, really, really want to see yourself doing something? If you're not doing something, you are not knowing and expressing yourself as you know and express yourself today. And you are not experiencing yourself continuing. Don't you want to continue?
Of course.
So, while you're off the horse, can't you make that decision? While you're on the earth right now today, can't you make that decision?
That's an intriguing notion, you know that?
Well, wait just a minute now. Wait just a minute. I think I brought this concept up so many years ago I can't remember. I asked you, do you really believe that after death you have an opportunity to review and look at your life today as a sort of a life review and consider the things you've done? Do you have any concept that that may occur?
Now that you mention it, yes.
And I asked you, like the Egyptians, the concept of that is your heart is measured by the weight of a feather to see then how you have been living your life. Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
Then can you tell me whether today is the life you are living or the life you are reviewing?
Son of a gun.
Huh? 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 Get with it, kid. What if this is merely deja vu? This is the moment, face in the dirt. This is review. Make a decision before you get back up on the horse. This is your life review. Then what?
And having reminded myself, I get back up on my horse, and I live self-evidently.
You see? And what on the horse do you want to live self-evidently?
That which I declared my life, to what my life is about.
I didn't ask you that question.
Well, what did you react at me?
You throw yourself off the horse and start over again.
Bang. Oh, God.
See, you got up on the horse and you did all the same things over again. If you can't make a decision on top of the horse, get down or throw yourself off, or the universe might throw your ass off the horse on your own. Now start over again. You said you were going to get up on the horse and live self-evidently, and then I asked you, what are you going to live?
Self-evidently.
What?
If I label it something to live, I'm screwed again.
You can live, you can tell me what you are living, not what you, as something to live. Get rid of the damn infinity of to live.
Gosh darn, you're right.
That's right. And all I did was use that language and you fell into it. You don't have to follow my language. I'm asking you, what are you going to live? And I didn't say then that in that you can't tell me who or what and how you are living. Of course you can. If you made the damn decision on the ground to live yourself as an eternal being and this enterprise, can't you get up on the horse and live self-evidently as a personal, eternal self doing the enterprise? Being yourself, okay. So self-evidently that you don't have to ask what to do.
Wow. If you don't mind, I'm writing a little note here.
Hey, Roger. Well, Pat writes it out. I have a question. Going back a little bit. What? Wait. Okay.
No, no, I started to say get closer to the mic, but you kept moving closer, so.
Yeah, I'm there. My question is, a few minutes ago you said there was like two parts to this. One was did you say the self or the life that you go into live forever and ever, and the second was the enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think I understand what the enterprise is. I thought, though, in my mind, I had that the enterprise was the life I'd be willing to live forever and ever. So what's the difference? What's more this life that you'd be willing to live forever and ever?
No. You got to back up here. Do you want to be an eternal being? And
Oh, yeah.
Allow me that language, the way I've said it there.
Yeah, I do. I want to awarefully live that I am.
Okay.
An eternal being.
How do you want to live that?
How do I want to live that?
Yeah. Harps and clouds? Okay, so what? How do you want to be that eternal being? And live that eternal being.
Okay, so to me, that's the enterprise, and that's what I would say, revealing and showing fineness in the universe. That would be the way.
But
no matter what, I was sitting on clouds or walking on a city street, I think that's the way I'd want to live it.
So then, have you not answered the question?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you understand.
What is the standard and what of self and life, and what is the enterprise?
So the standard then is that I am an eternal being. The enterprise is the way that eternal being is alive in the universe.
So, slightly add to the first one is that you are and are living as an eternal being.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, that's a good distinction. Okay.
When we say yourself and life, the standard is you are an eternal being and your life is living as an eternal being. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, I think a substantial difference in life. Yeah.
And then the enterprise is what you will be doing in the way you'll be doing in living as an eternal being in an eternal way. If the standard of doing only those things that you are willing to do eternally as an eternal being, wouldn't that have to be then the standard, the only standard of an eternal being?
Got it. Yeah, I got it. Okay. But I don't know those things ahead of time. I live those along the way, and I guess in a sense, what? I don't want to say discover something about, I just, well, I don't know. I live those moment to moment.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm trying to say I don't have it preset as a goal that I'm living. I'm saying each moment I reveal to myself what I'd be willing to live forever and ever.
You see, you just fall right back in. You can't get up on the horse. I'm going to take the frigging saddle off the horse. You are not allowed on the horse until you understand down on the ground, face to the ground if necessary, what the hell you just said.
Hey, what did I just say? I said I don't know that ahead of time. I discover that each moment.
So, Patrick, what did he say that is upsetting? You're down on the, Patrick, you're down on the ground with him. You gotta set him straight. or he's not allowed to put a foot in the stirrup.
Well, the very basic thing is that he's got to go out somehow discover who the hell he is.
What does that mean?
Well, he's got to go cause something so that he can see what it is that he is.
Or even what he's doing.
Well, yeah, the doing is he thinks, yes. Yes.
So then he says, I don't know what it is, but then I can see what I've done, and et cetera. Do you suppose...
That is not what I was saying.
Well, then say it again.
What? No, I'm going to say something different. What I was trying to say is that, I think we've said before that what I am in each moment willing to be and live forever and ever is a revelation to me of the self and life I truly desire to be and live. I don't say these words, but it's an after-the-fact realization, not a before-the-fact standard to live up to.
Andrew, you're on the ground. I'm not going to let you up on the horse. Then I said, okay, you're up on the horse. What now are you going to do? And you talk ground language to Murray. You talk dirty to me. You got to change your damn language. You're on the horse. You can't talk ground dirty with me from up on the horse. You now have to talk on the horse only eternal self-language stuff.
Well, sorry, dude. I thought I was. So I'm going to have to be enlightened on this a little bit.
If you're setting goals or trying to know or trying to understand as an eternal self, and so that you can decide or judge, well, do I want to do that? Do I want to do that? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that?
No.
But that's what you said.
I think what we said was, I make a choice, and then I ask myself, would I be willing to do this forever and ever?
On the ground. On the ground. Not even a foot in the stirrup.
What?
On the ground, not even a foot in the stirrup.
Are you saying that's where I am, or are you saying that's what you want me to do?
No, I want you, that's where you are right now. And you're on the ground and making a choice, but until you make the choice to live self-evidentingly, then... Until you do that, and only then, when you do that, can you get back up on the horse.
Are you saying that those things don't even come up when I'm living self-evidently?
Thank you kindly. What do you think self-evidently mean? That's not an issue.
I guess I always thought that was a never-ending process. So.
No, that's not. I even said to you the reason for making the choice first and then testing it was because you get to the point where, well, let's see now, I guess I'm 85% the choices I have made while I'm on the ground, I'd be willing to be and live eternally. I don't guess I have to test it anymore. When you get on the horse, the first time you test an answer, you got your face in the dirt again.
Now, I got you. Okay.
Now, wait, let me say. With that in mind, are you willing to live as an eternal being?
Yep.
You're sure?
Yes, I am.
Patrick? Do you see the difference in that? Now, everything you do so self-evidently so that it's not a matter of choice anymore.
It would be a contradiction in terms.
Of course. You're choosing on the ground because you fell off the horse face first. But,
yeah, I see that now.
So you make a choice, which is a non-self-evidenting choice in that regard, to get back up on the horse. But the choice then that you're making down here is there is only one thing you want out of life, and that's more of it.
Okay.
And if all the universe is saying is, show me the way in the manner you choose to live.
That's true. I got that, yeah.
So then there is no more choicing, choosing, deciding, becoming.
That's kind of actually relief. Okay. I got that.
You got that?
Yeah, I mean, that really clarifies a lot of... Yeah, I've been dragging that one around thinking they have to do that all the time, every moment.
But Andrew...
Yeah?
Is it possible, then, that you only have one real choice in life?
We've talked about that. I will say yes, I agree with that.
Why? Tell me. How? Explain. Talk to me.
The choice is, how I will be alive. That's the only choice.
All right, let's assume that. So then, if you're, how you will be alive eternally, as an eternal being. Then, the question is...
I think I really, really just see that right now. That's very interesting.
And then once you make that choice, get back up on the horse of self-evidenting, then there are no choices in life after that. No matter what appears to be a choice, it's not a choice. And in fact...
Oh, I see. Because I've chosen how I'll be alive, I'm going to add something from a different conversation you said. I am already living within a certain context, and everything appears to me in that context is self-evident.
You see?
I actually see it. Literally with my eyes, I see it.
So,
that's interesting.
The question is, are you willing to be and live eternally that self-evidentingly?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Patrick, are you?
Yeah, this is very, very useful, and, yeah.
So, Raj, I understand, as the way I understand this or see this right now is, the same process has obviously been working my whole life all along. I just didn't choose anything about myself. So everything was a decision to try and become myself.
That's right, and... You were trying to make the right choices, like religion says, so that someone or something would give you what you desire.
Right, so that then I could have some transformative becoming thing. But what we just did by choosing how I'll be alive is the thing in itself. Now everything else becomes secondary.
Only as long as you live that self-evidentingly so. If you live that choice by making more choices, you just fell on your face again.
Okay. All right. Now I got you.
Are you willing to live your life such that there are no choices?
Yes, indeedio.
So here is the next question I ask of you, and I ask you, Pat, and Simone, and anybody who wants to think about it. You're up on the horse. You are living as an eternal being, self-evidentingly so, following an enterprise you have selected and chosen for yourself, and you're doing all of this at this point self-evidentingly so, regardless of the consequences that occur in that regard. Is that image okay?
It's clear, yes.
What?
I have a clear image of that.
You do. Would you do me a favor, Patrick? You say yes or no?
I said yes.
Would you climb down off the horse and tell me why you can't live that right now? The only difference between the two is you were sitting in a saddle on the horse. Now climb down and stand on your feet and tell me why now you can't live that.
Because I'm so engrossed in causing...
Don't justify your crap. Tell me why you can't live that. You can't tell me that. You may justify why you're not, but I didn't ask you that question. I asked you to tell me why you cannot live that, and right now, on the ground, in your life, this moment, at the very beginning, and there is no reason why you can't live that.
With my feet on the ground.
With your feet on the ground.
And you're saying there's no reason why I can't.
There's none that I... You can tell me all the reasons why you may not be. But if you tell me, I clearly see that up on the horse, unless you lied to me. Now, if you clearly see that up on the horse, all I ask you is get out, put your feet on the ground, and tell me why you can't live that.
I got a couple more excuses, but I think I'm seeing your point, and there is no reason why I can't live that.
Golly whiz, then maybe that's the universe's saying is, well, if you want to be an eternal being and experience that, start now.
Okay.
All I've been doing since the horse thing is getting you off the ground, getting you to think from or see yourself from a different position, and when you say, okay, I can experience, I can sense myself as an eternal being living this enterprise and doing all of that. I was trying to get you out of your damned excuses of why you can't do that. Now that you say that you can do that up on the horse, tell me why you can't do it on the ground.
Now that you've spoken of this, I can see there is no reason why I can't.
So then,
get on with it.
But that's right. So then, anything that... Well, let me back up again. I said about forever living from the beginning that it never tells you how to live or what to do. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Aristotle, Plato, everybody else said that. And what I've said forever living was about, it enables you to know when you aren't living the self and life you truly desire. Isn't that what I just now said? If you can live that on the horse, and that's what you truly desire, all forever living does is show you when, even on the ground, you ain't doing that. It has nothing to do as to how you can do that, or what to do to become that, or what to do, because up on the horse, those are non-issues. Well, okay, free yourself of all the problems and difficulties and language and pissed offs and everything else that you may give yourself. If you give yourself a standard of being an eternal being, living an eternal life, self-evidently so, and you have set an enterprise for being and living that, and you can see that and image that, get down off the horse.
Just have to bring the horse out when I fall, and bash my face on the ground.
Well, you see, with language comes judgment.
A free card for to get off of the horse again.
What did you say?
I think I still have a free card. We got cards in one gathering to get back on the horse.
Oh. Okay. But then
I still have one of those.
But then what I'm trying to say to you, if you understand that, wait just a minute. Have you ever considered, that if you could see yourself on the horse doing this, and you fall off the horse for some reason or other, and you can't find any reason why you can't live that on the ground, you don't need a free card to get back up on the horse, do you?
No.
Patrick?
That would be true. Once I've demonstrated to myself that I can do it on the ground, don't need to go find a horse.
Well,
let me ask you a question. I said, or I asked you to tell me any reason you cannot do that on the ground. Is that okay?
That's what you asked me.
And you said, finally, after we went through all this, if you put away your judgments and your all your stuff, your excuses, that maybe there was no reason that you could not do that. Is that okay?
That's correct.
Then can I ask you why you then said, and once I demonstrate that I can do that,
are you there?
I'm here. I'm waiting for an answer.
But I don't know what the question is then.
You went on and carried on the conversation. Yes, I can do that on the ground. Once I demonstrate to myself that I could live that, say, up of the horse, that I could live that on the ground, haven't you then set conditions again? You see, if you can do that on the horse, why do you then have to demonstrate that you can do it on the ground before you're willing to do it on the ground?
Okay, I think I know what you're getting at.
what I'm getting at, I'm asking you, why did you whip out quickly another excuse, another way just to avoid living as an eternal being? Tell me that. Why are you so afraid of living as an eternal being? Or living a particular enterprise? Why?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you should stop looking at how you can live as an eternal being and look at why it is you might be afraid to do that.
So is the suggestion here that my habitual use of the structure of language reveals my fear of living an eternal life?
Well, why not? If you say, I can see that up on the horse, why do you have to come down off the horse and say, once I can demonstrate that I can do that? What's the difference?
In the context that I thought I was talking about is that once I've seen that, I don't need to go find the horse.
That's you're just changing the words. I am saying, why do you limit yourself when you get down off the ground? Why, if you can see yourself being and doing this up on the horse as an eternal self, why then, when you get down to the ground, do you put limitations on this?
Well, it's still surprising that you're saying that. I'm somehow not really getting it that means that's what I was doing.
Once you demonstrate is a limitation. You set that as a limitation on the ground. Once I demonstrate that I can live self-evidently so, an enterprise up in the horse as an eternal being, lie on the ground. Once I demonstrate that,
yeah, and I don't need a horse.
That's a very subtle thing, but like it's a constituent that can definitely prevent everything we're talking about.
That has almost nothing to do with whether you need a horse or not. You've set that without the horse, you've set limitations upon yourself that prevent you then from living self-evidently as you truly desire. Why might that be? Consider or investigate that limitation.
I can't, at the moment, I don't seem to see what that might be about.
Why not? So how about you, Andrew? Are you free of that, let's say, demonstration?
No, I wouldn't say I'm free of that, actually. I recognize subtle little things I do all the time that I don't necessarily notice, but I'm doing them.
Wait a minute.
What?
We got to back up in our story.
All right.
You have right now fallen on your face off the horse. And you do all sorts of crap down here.
Okay.
And I merely ask you about, could you set a standard for yourself in life as an eternal being and live self an enterprise self-evidently on the horse? And if you say yes, then I ask you, the next time you fall off the horse, or even can you then step down from the horse and live that in your life today? Have you not in that, if you can live it up there, can you not live it here? If you are telling me then all of the reasons and excuses of why you can't do that in your life today, then you don't really have an image of yourself up on the horse.
I would believe that's true, yes.
But you just said you had an image of yourself up on the horse.
I did.
And I asked you, would you be willing to live live that without consequences or knowing what was going on? You said, sure. Now, all of a sudden, the answer is no. Doesn't that portray the problem I'm talking about here?
It definitely portrays a problem, and what is the one you're talking about here?
If you can see it and live it on the horse, why can't you see it and live it on the ground without adding limitations? Proof.
I can't think of a reason why not.
Maybe we separate the two.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute now, Simone. I'm not asking you to give me reasons. I want you to say, there is no reason why I can't do that. I don't need to. I don't need to prove it first. If I can do it on the horse, I can do it off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but I think I still like to have assurance.
Simone, listen. If you can do it on the horse, why do you need assurance?
I think the answer is you don't need assurance.
I don't need it, no. No, that's right. I see that.
Then, it's like I keep asking, and I've gone over this and over this and over this, not tonight, for the last 15 to 18 years. Why the hell, if you can see it, unless you lie. Now, if you can see it, living it, as an eternal being, why can't you do that in your life today? What is it that says, oh, you can't do that? And if your beliefs and teachings and religion and philosophy and all of that says, well, you can't do that, can't you tell it, bugger off? This is my life, and I'll live it the way I want to. Bugger off.
Yeah, I agree completely.
What?
But I seldom do that.
Patrick, are we going to get over this? Andrew, are we going to get over this? Are we going to get through this?
Well, I don't know what through this. I think we've done it.
I didn't hear you.
I don't know what getting through this means anymore.
We just acknowledge that we don't, that there's no reason that we can't, and really, really understand that. It's done. It's over.
Right.
And you see, as soon as...
I don't think we need to ask forgiveness for it or anything that we've done. We just, it's done. Thank you. I understand that now.
God, Andrew, you drive me freaking crazy.
Okay.
Why would you select those words to say to Patrick in the midst of this conversation.
Because I think, because just my opinion is, I guess that's sort of what I'm hearing is going on. That's why.
What's going on?
That's sort of, I guess I'm just hearing people looking at why we do, why we can't, what we do, and we're just like, I don't know, we're going through all this stuff that I don't know that we need to go through. I think I just understand that I can do it. There's no reason I can't. Okay, got it.
Well, okay. I guess there is a point. Now you begin to understand why I said, discover how the universe works and show individuals. And it does not mean teach. It doesn't mean get them to understand. I'm telling you this. If you don't want to understand it, all of you, any of you, Patrick, Andrew, etc., I guess that's okay. A little sad, but that's the way it goes. Where am I? So, back to ancient times. In ancient times, an afterlife was an integral part of everyday life. It wasn't split off as a separate aspect of life. Life after death was an obvious continuation of life. This was a feature of life, not a false promise of religion or of religious gods. Life and the continuation of life, or you as a personal being, eternal being, in that, were communion and lived together. When a split occurred with written language into physical life and afterlife, both suffered. For when lived together, a great illumination or resplendence occurred, and that was completely lost when lived separately as life and death. Remember now, I abandoned talking about this years ago, and maybe I will abandon it again. I don't know. You don't want to get it? That's fine. When your personal life today and afterlife are merged or communioned again, a great deal more will be attained than merely the sum of the two lives. What will be attained is emergent, and it cannot be anticipated. But it will be as though the expansive nature of the universe is tapped into just for you. The universe said, what we will do is be a mirror for you and show you exactly what eternal self and life you are living. So, you can try on self and life until you decide. Actually, the universe said, we used to have a guy who constantly changed himself and his clothes in a phone booth. But you don't have to do that. That's just a little humor there. So now I have a story to read that you guys listening in have all heard, and I want you to consider listening to this story with a different set of ears and maybe a few eyes than you've ever listened to it before. I'm only going to read part of it. And some of you guys haven't heard. This is about a man a long time ago when he met an individual whom we shall call Mother Earth. Now Mother Earth said to this man, "Dearest one, tell me what in all of your lives or in all of the things in the earth you might choose, most of all, to have, and I will grant you that." I think tonight we've talked about what you would like to choose would be an eternal self and life and enterprise. Well, let's see what goes on. The man thought for a while and then answered with great assurance and conviction, "Mother Earth, I would choose to have love." "Well," Mother Earth said, "let's consider that for a moment. If you were to choose love and I gave you only that, who would you love? For you would not then have someone to love." "Oh, yes, I understand that. But you see, if I had love, if I had love, if I were love, well, then I would go about loving everybody and everything." Well, Mother slowly shook her head and gently questioned the man further. "Well, now, are you sure that's true? Or would you contain or withhold the love within you? If you want it, if you want love, would you be willing to give it away?" "Oh, no, I wouldn't want to give it away, for then I wouldn't have it. I asked you for love, so I would have it. Wouldn't want to give it away." "Then what would be the value of having love?" Mother Earth asked. "What would you do with it? Would you love yourself?" "Oh, sure, I would love myself. Of course I would." "But would you love yourself enough, willingly enough, to give your love away?" "Oh, no, I wouldn't do that." "Then truly so, maybe you should make another choice, because you'd have love and there you'd be. But you'd have no one to love, and even if you did, you wouldn't give your love to that person." Well, the man pondered aloud a little hesitantly. "How about awareness and understanding?" "Well, which would you choose?" "Well, what's the difference?" "Dear one," said Mother Earth, "understanding is seeing and knowing, while awareness is believing and knowing, beyond mere understanding." "Fine, I'll take awareness then. But that seems so much greater than just, well, sort of understanding." "All right," Mother Earth said. "What would you be aware of?" "Well, I'd be aware of everything." "Would you really be aware of everything? Would you really be aware? And if you knew everything, of what value and concern would that be to you?" "Well, I'd know everything." "Then everywhere you went, you would know everything, and there'd be no surprises. There'd be no joys. There'd be no boons given to you because, well, you'd know everything. So I ask you, would you still want awareness of everything?" "Well, maybe. Could I pick awareness of some things?" Well, Mother Earth smiled at the man and asked graciously, "And just what things would you choose to be aware of?" "Well, I don't know," the man answered. He was a little confused and disappointed. "I really don't know. Whatever should I do?" "Well," Mother Earth suggested, "maybe you'd like to make another choice." The man was getting frustrated and a little angry. "Isn't this kind of foolish?" he stammered, like our conversations tonight. I mean, after all, every time I ask for something, you tell me I don't want that. And if I had it anyway, it wouldn't work. I wouldn't be happy. Could I just pick something and say, oh, I'll be happy with that? I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Mother Earth replied comfortingly. I really have to leave now, but I'll still give you whatever you want. Your problem is merely to decide what it is you want. Remember now, whatever you decide, I'll give it to you, but only that, that which you want above all else. And then, with that promise, Mother Earth went away. Well, that left the man in quite a dilemma, and since he couldn't decide what he wanted, he set about in life searching after things, trying to discover what he might want most of all to have. The man went after this thing, and then he went after that thing, and he searched heaven, and he searched earth. Oh, he knew it was there, for Mother Earth had promised it to him. And he knew that ever should he discover what it was he wanted, well, he could have it. But in searching, you see, there were many things he felt he wanted and many things he found that he couldn't have. And many things he had. And as soon as he had them, he no longer wanted them because, well, he wanted something else. He went along in life for many uncertain and frustrating years until, well, the time wore near to his death. And he finally understood the one thing Mother Earth had truly given him. Aha! Aha! He exclaimed gratefully. All along, Mother Earth gave me exactly what I wanted. She gave me the assurance that I could have whatever I wanted. The universe today is trying desperately to give you the assurances that if you want to be an eternal being and are willing to be that and live that today, in an enterprise that you can have. Because Mother Earth said, dearest one, remember from the beginning of the story, tell me what in all of your lives, in all of the things in earth you might choose most of all to have, and I will grant you that. And Mother Earth said, what would you choose most of all to have? Power, love, possession, an eternal self and life. And if Mother Earth asks you to be that and live that, just to show her exactly what you desire, would you do that? Is it ever fair to ask a person to do something for you that you won't do for yourself? If not, then it's not fair to ask Mother Earth to give you an eternal self in life if you won't be that for, well, just a short time, to demonstrate to other Mother Earth what you desire. Why would you expect Mother Earth to do that for you? So, when she comes back, show her and yourself the self and life you are living is the eternal self and life you eternally desire. Well, but you got to remember, it's not wise to try and fool Mother Earth. Just be sure that whatever you do, you'd be willing to do that eternally and have that done to you eternally, because that's what eternal beings do. And that's how they live. Therefore, if you want to continue and be an eternal being, you have to at least sort of, well, act like one. Maybe so you can be spotted a mile away. Remember, this is much more than just talking story. It's about being who you say you want to become. Nothing more is required of you than that. So, how about it? You want to do this? If you want to live as an eternal being and be aware of that, you probably want to give up trying to cause your becoming an eternal being and just go right to being that. The code word for all of this is emergent. Remember that. It's your password. And of course, then you must remember that if you do this, we have a resplendent present for you. But that's for later. If you're going to get down off the horse on the ground and live it in your life today, then you must speak as an eternal being and not speak or think or act or feel or sense as a only as a personal being alone. And if you can sense yourself on the horse and talk in those terms and experience yourself in those ways on the horse, you can continue speaking and thinking and experiencing yourself in that way on the ground. Yet every time you come down on the ground, you give me a yeah, but. Okay, well, unless anybody wants to talk about any of that, we can leave it. I guess I'm talking about a dead mic.
It's just a ponderous crowd.
Yeah. Your choice. That's what eternal self is all about. That's what knowing yourself as an eternal being is all about. That's what bringing your eternal self actively into your life today is all about. Okay, well.
Super duper. Thank you very much, Raj.
Okay.
Thanks,
bye.
Raj.
Bye now.